It's so good to see everybody, and
Yeah.
it's wonderful that we have a new baby here. And so you just can't get over how much I enjoy seeing little babies. It's something very special. If you're visiting with us, we're thrilled that you're here. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that the time we can spend together will be uplifting to you, that you will have a good day of worship. As we went through the Bible, the passages this morning that we read when we were praising God, I was struck by how many times the idea of hope appears in those passages. And you can see why we're focused so much on hope this year. Well, we started in Romans, the 8th chapter, last week, talking about a phrase that the Apostle Paul used in Romans 8. He said, "In this hope, we're saved." And I wanted to continue our discussion of that this morning, but I think the place to go is back to Romans, the 8th chapter, and we'll just read this context again. And as we read through this context, I want you to keep in mind the concept of hope. The apostle says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation was in eager anticipation or eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Now we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that's seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have yet, we will wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We know that we do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those that love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Those who predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified." Now, we talked last week about how all of creation is subject to bondage. That all of creation, even rocks, can't wait for the glory to be revealed one day. I'm not sure I understand exactly how that works, but there are some things that I'm confident of. As we went through Romans, the 8th chapter last week, we mentioned several things. God subjected the creation to frustration in hope, that it was because of sin in the garden. And there's even in God's pronouncing the consequences of sin, there was a glimmer of hope that Jesus will eventually crush Satan. We know that we're still groaning under frustration. We're in a state of hope and patient waiting. And finally, we discovered that we who are in that patient waiting state are enjoying the first fruits of the Spirit. So what exactly is the first fruits of the Spirit? That's what he says in verse 23, remember. Not only so, but we ourselves, and he's talking about those who are Christians, he says, we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. So what are or what is the first fruits of the Spirit? Well, I think in the first place, it involves having the Spirit. And one of the reasons why I think that's what he's talking about is in Romans 5, prior to his discussion in Romans 8, he says this in Romans 5 at verse 5, hope will never let us down. There's hope again. It's just all throughout the Bible. Hope will never let us down. God has poured out his love into our hearts. He did it through the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. So we have the Holy Spirit. And he gave it to us, 2 Corinthians 5 says, as a down payment. He didn't give us part of the Spirit, and he'll give us the rest of it later. Now that's, I suppose, one way to understand how a down payment works, but I don't think that's what he's talking about. He says he gave it to us as a down payment. The Spirit makes us sure of what is to come. So he didn't give us part of the Spirit. He gave us the Spirit. And what that does for us is it creates an assurance that what was promised way back in Genesis 3 is coming. It's a reality, and we get to participate in it. What a great promise it is. The Holy Spirit is our earnest money. It's our down payment. It's what he gives us to help us be sure that we have eternal life. Now, how does the Spirit do that? I'm not sure, I understand everything about the way that the Spirit works. But I know that the Spirit is testifying to me. And I get to testify with the Spirit. That look at Romans 8, verses 15 and 16. He says, you didn't receive a spirit that makes you a slave to fear once again. Indeed, you received the Holy Spirit who makes you God's child. By the Spirit's power, we call God Abba. Abba means Father. The Spirit himself joins with our spirits. Together, they give witness that we are God's children. How does the Spirit testify that I'm God's child? One of the ways that he does that, I'm certain, is through the word that he's given us. It explains what God's children are like. That's the Holy Spirit giving us testimony, telling us what we ought to be if we're going to be God's children. And it testifies with our spirit. I'm so fond of 1 Corinthians. The apostle says, what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit which is of God. So God sent the Spirit to tell us what we ought to be. And my spirit, my personal spirit, testifies that that's what I am. The Spirit says, you need to put on Christ if you want to be one of His. And my spirit says, I did that. Now, notice how it's my spirit that testifies that that's what I did. Because it's possible to get into a pool of water and do nothing more than get wet, right? But my spirit knows what I was doing when I put on Jesus in baptism. That's why that's so important, that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, testifies with my spirit. And I think that's a fundamental concept when we talk about the conscience. Conscience is it's a compound word. It's pretty easy to understand. Con means with, right? Science is knowing. So I know with. Do I know with myself? Well, yes, that has some value. Do I know with God? Do I know with the Spirit that I am a child of God? The testimony comes from the Spirit first. It comes through what He's given us, basically the Word. And then my spirit testifies about what I did. Nobody, interestingly, nobody else can say that you put on Christ when you stepped into that pool of water. It's totally dependent on my spirit to tell you what I was doing when I stepped into that pool of water. So the Spirit testifies with my spirit. And I think that's important. And it produces some fruit. Galatians 5. This is from the New International Translation. I like the way it reads. The fruit the Holy Spirit produces, if the Holy Spirit's in me, it's going to start producing this fruit. It's love, joy, peace. It's being patient, kind, and good. It's being faithful and gentle and having control of oneself. There's no law against things of that kind. This is what the Spirit produces. I can look at my life and I can see the Spirit working. You know, when in the early church, there was a need to appoint people to do a particular job. Acts, the sixth chapter. Remember that they were having to make distribution of what people needed in order to live. And it's probably basically food. That the apostles said to the entire congregation, look out from among yourselves, men of honest report. Men who are full of the Holy Spirit, you'll see the fruits. You'll know that they're full of the Spirit. And we'll appoint these men over this task that we have to achieve. And we sometimes think of them as deacons. And that's what we ought to be looking for. People who are full of these fruits. somebody kind, good, patient, somebody who's gentle? Does somebody have control of himself? That's how you know that people have the Spirit. It produces fruit, and it inevitably must produce fruit. The only way you can prevent the Spirit from producing this fruit in your life is to put the Spirit out. You have to take an affirmative step to decide that you don't want the Spirit in your life anymore. But it will produce these fruits. And I guess for me, one of the most striking things about having the Spirit in my life is that it serves as my prayer helper when I'm in weakness. I've been there. There have been times when I was incredibly weak, struggling. And I'm sure most of us could make that statement. And there were times when we needed the Spirit's help to pray. Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 26 and 27. The part of our text that we're focusing on. The Holy Spirit helps us when we're weak. We don't know what we should pray for. But the Holy Spirit himself prays for us. He prays with groans too deep for words. God, who looks into our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit. The Spirit prays for God's people just as God wants him to pray. What a great blessing to know that the Spirit that I have as a first fruit, as a down payment, as an earnest money to give me assurance that I have life, the Spirit helps me to pray when I'm feeling weak. When I have difficulty remembering that that's something that I have. And it's a great blessing beyond what we can imagine. If you want to have this, if you want this to be a part of your life, then put on Christ. Repent of the way that you have lived that's in a rebellion against God. Confess that Jesus is his son, that he died for you, and will baptize you this morning. Not because we want you to get wet. Not because we want to get you into this pool of water that's behind me, but because we want your spirit to be able to say, I did that. And if you're feeling weak, you may have left God, forgotten. The Spirit will help in that weakness. Pray. It may be that you don't know exactly what to pray for, but we'll help you to do that. James said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And he said, for that reason, confess your fault one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. We can help. Like the Spirit helps, we can help.